So today we continue in the journey through the book of Ruth. 2 weeks ago we heard from Zach how Naomi was empty, was broken and uncertain of what lay ahead of her after the death of her husband and her 2 sons. She was angry with God and felt alone. Naomi decided to go back to her homeland, Bethlehem, and to tell her 2 daughters-in-law to go back to Moab, which was their homeland. Then we hear those lovely words of faith and of courage that Ruth tells her mother-in-law. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. These are life-changing words for both Naomi and Ruth. And from this first statement, we see that Ruth's love for Naomi simply flows onwards and outwards, a love that is seen in action. And so they both set off with uncertainty of not knowing where life would take them. Then last week, we hear about God's kindness through generosity and generosity through Boaz, who had let Ruth glean the edges of the fields. Through this compassion of Boaz, we see that Naomi gets hope and faith back, and this is transforming her, and she praises God. Naomi never had to guess how much God loved her, how much Ruth loved her, as Ruth showed that love in everything she did, as she ensured that she cared for Naomi's welfare. Naomi is able to give up her bitterness and recover power and hope, to make her own plans when she sees that God does indeed love and bless her through the actions of Boaz and Ruth. And so now we come to chapter 3, and we hear of Naomi hatching a plan for Ruth to give them some stability. She wanted Ruth to find what we all really want, isn't it? A home and security again. Out of love, Naomi was giving to Ruth what she had to offer, and that was hope and wisdom. So she schemed to arrange a marriage. Many weeks had passed as the harvesting was finished and the threshing about to start. As Boaz was a distant relative to Naomi's husband, the family redeemer, it was her hope that he would accept Ruth as his wife. Naomi had seen Boaz's display of gentleness, kindness, caring for the vulnerable, and his integrity as he had cared for Ruth, the foreigner and the widow. Naomi's shrewd plan involved considerable courage on the part of Ruth, and surely she would have had some doubts about being rejected or Boaz getting really angry with her. I have to say, it certainly seems a radical and challenging plan, but radical plans for God are some of the most inspiring and hopeful plans there are. So Ruth did as Naomi suggested, which was to wash, put on perfume, put her best clothes, and to visit Boaz, laying at his feet at night as he slept on the threshing floor. And I know I'm wondering, and I'm sure there's a few here that are wondering, and possibly even Ruth wondered, just where do you think this is going to end? Surely a daytime face-to-face conversation would have been easier. And I'm not going to tell you where it ended either. So Ruth lay down at Boaz's feet and she said to him, "Spread the corner of your covering over me and you are my family redeemer." Early in Ruth chapter 2, we heard Boaz use that image of protection under a wing when he said, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." And Ruth is now taking his own prayer and asking Boaz to fulfil it. This image of being under a wing we see several times in Psalm 17 and Psalms 50, in Psalm 57. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, or in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until the destroying storm passes. This gives us a lovely picture of being gathered up, of having shelter, being comforted, and having complete reliance upon the protective concern of another. Boaz recognises the extent of Ruth's loving sacrifice because he then says to Ruth, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter." He is now acknowledging Ruth as family, not just a foreigner, using that word daughter. But Boaz understands the law and knows that there's a closer relative who might want to exercise his customary rights. So Boaz tells Ruth to stay the night, and in the morning he would go and advocate on her behalf. Ruth leaves as soon as it's light enough to see a way home. But once again, Boaz has made sure that she has a very generous gift of grain, so she doesn't leave empty-handed. Like a lot of good radical plans, it was not all smooth sailing. So once again, Naomi and Ruth must have patience and trust. Ruth's love for Naomi was not just a loyalty, it was a steadfast love, a love that is reliable, constant, and unwavering. This steadfast love is a word that sums up the covenant relationship between God and us as God's people. Loyalty, steadfast love in adverse circumstances, lies at the heart of the covenant. God has never left God's people to guess how much God loves them. God shows us that over and over again. There's a very popular story which I have read thousands of times to young children, and it's "Guess How Much I Love You." And if you don't know the story, it is about an exchange between a small nut brown hare and a larger one, each trying to outdo each other on their declaration of love with "I love you this much," "No, I love you this much," and then jumping, and then "I love you to the moon," and "I love you to the moon and back again." This book, Guess How Much I Love You, would have been very bemusing in Ruth's world, because the love that we see in Ruth is a love that can be seen and lived out. It is a mutual commitment to one another. There was no guesswork required, and that is a challenge for us, to live out that love in all that we do, in words and actions. No guesswork required. In this chapter, we see that God uses ordinary people and blesses them through routine occurrences. It is in the everyday and the ordinary that we can see breathtaking results. We go, we do, we seek, and we find, with God leading the way. God directed Ruth, a new believer, and used her faith and obedience to transform defeat into victory. And we also see that along the way, Ruth had people who stood up for her, believed in her as they supported and nurtured her. As we respond to God's touch in our lives, we are given the opportunity to bring healing, hope, and new life to those around us. God touches our lives. As God touches our lives, God has a habit of shaking things up in our lives, our community, our churches, and our homes. They don't remain the same. An author that has challenged me over the years with her radical Christianity is Sarah Miles. In her book, the first book that I read of hers, Takes This Bread, is a powerful story of an unexpected and terribly inconvenient Christian conversion. As an atheist, a lesbian, A left-wing journalist who covered revolutions around the world, Sarah Miles lived in a secular world. Until one winter day, she wandered into a church in San Francisco, took communion, and found herself radically transformed. She embraced a faith that she had previously scorned. As she tells us, it is a faith that's not based on angels or party, but based on real hunger, real food, and real bodies. Sarah stepped out in faith and started a food pantry, giving away tons of food from around the same altar that she had received the body of Christ. And as the story develops, she then encourages people to come a bit earlier and they provide a meal, which they strip the altar and all sit round the altar and have a meal before they serve. Within years, Sarah and the people she served had started nearly a dozen food pantries in the poorest area of their city, providing hundreds of families with free groceries each week. We see again that a risky, radical plan based on a strong faith has changed lives for those that she helped and those who walked alongside her. There will always be obstacles and a risk factor in our faith journey. I know at times I've been challenged and I've had doubts. I get impatient and I get frustrated with God at times. Well, quite a few times, actually. But I learn over the years that, like Ruth and Naomi, patience is required. And the answers that I get aren't always the answers I had hoped for. But I also know that in these times there are people supporting and praying for me. I'm never alone. Having faith doesn't mean that we know the outcome. Rather, faith in God gives us hope and confidence in our dark times, knowing God's love and strength supporting us. I read recently that a setback is just a setup for a comeback, a reminder that we will get stones thrown in our path, but we can either decide to stumble or use them as a stepping stone closer to God. Naomi ends Ruth 3 with a statement of hope, though mingled at the same time with suspense and uncertainty. Just when Naomi thought everything was going to plan, she is left once again to trust in the providence of God. Sometimes waiting on the Lord is the hardest and the most radical thing we do. Ruth had to go through some terrible times, but every difficulty, every question, the uncertainty and the brokenness becomes God's way of doing something better than could have happened otherwise. We see God is at work in every circumstances. Like Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and Sarah Miles, we don't know what will happen when we provide real love that is seen in a willingness to welcome and help the refugee who arrived traumatised and lonely from their shattered homelands, when we offer hope, compassion, and love to others. What we do know is that we are sharing what God has given to us, and that is God's love and grace. A love that calls us to live radically, give generously, and love graciously. Or as Micah 6 verse 8 from the Message tells us, but he has already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself seriously. Take God seriously. And then you do now have to wait till next week for part four of the continuing story.